Unit 6. India and Pakistan, Areas of Conflict and Cooperation. Page 1. Structure. 6.0. Objectives. 6.1. Introduction. 6.2. Immediate problems arising from the partition. 6.3. The Indus Canal waters problem. 6.4. Disposal of evacuee property. 6.5. The Kashmir question. 6.6. Economic or trade opportunities. 6.7. Cooperation in the energy sector. 6.8. Confidence building measures and India-Pakistan relations. 6.9. Let us sum up. 6.10. Keywords. 6.11. Some useful books. 6.13. Answers to check your progress. Page 2. 6.0. Objectives. The main objective of this lesson is to identify the areas of conflict and cooperation in India-Pakistan relations, the reasons for mutual animosity and confrontation, and the potential for bridge building and cooperation will be analyzed. 6.1. Introduction. 57 years have gone by since the subcontinent was partitioned. The story over these years has been one of misunderstanding, misperceptions, and even wars on a number of occasions. Relations have been trapped in a set of zero-sum stratagems. Relations seem to get worse unless they get better. The paper will look at the areas of conflict and cooperation in India-Pakistan relations. Areas of conflict. 6.2. Immediate problems arising from partition. The Indian Independence Act, 1947, laid the basis for the creation of two independent nations, India and Pakistan. In the process of partitioning the subcontinent, many other problems also emerged. The army had to be divided, the sterling balances, the public debt and other property or services previously handled by the government of India had to be equitably divided between the two states. Disputes also arose in relation to the interpretation of the Ratcliffe Award. These included the demarcation of the boundary between East Bengal and West Bengal, and between East Bengal and Assam. These were referred to an Indo-Pakistan Boundary Dispute Tribunal chaired by Judge Bage, a Swedish. The Bage Award was accepted by both India and Pakistan in May 1950. The Joint Defence Council and Partition Councils were able to divide the armed forces and the civil forces services and the civil services and the assets and liabilities largely by mutual agreement. On the question of the civil services, each of the government servants were given the option to choose either of the governments we wish to serve. The existing terms and conditions of service were guaranteed. A simple formula for the division of the army was also evolved. The Muslim units of the army were assigned to Pakistan and the non-Muslim to India. The division of the army stores had, however, posed some difficulties. Page 3. To enable Pakistan to meet its immediate financial needs, a sum of rupees 20 crores out of the cash balances available with undivided India was made available to Pakistan. At a subsequent meeting of the Partition Council, the share of Pakistan was assessed at rupees 75 crores. India, however, tried to link this balance payment, 55 crores, to the settlement of the Kashmir issue. Pakistan rejected this, leading to a crisis. Mahatma Gandhi resorted to a fast from 13 January 1948 to an indefinite period. The fast led the government of India authorizing the payment of rupees 50 crores to Pakistan. 6.3. The Indus Canal waters problem. Since partition, the utilization of water resources, especially that of the river Indus and its tributaries, emerged as a major dispute. It took 12 years for the resolution of the dispute through mediation by the World Bank. The dispute began on 1st April 1948 when the East Punjab government in India cut off water supplies for the canals in Pakistan because the water dues were not paid. For about 5 weeks, about 1.5 million acres irrigated by these canals did not receive water, leading to a drought-like situation. The dispute brought into focus two major realities. One, it was essential that the water supply to India and Pakistan from the rivers should be made independent of interference by either government. Two, alternative sources of water supply to Pakistan not depending on the eastern rivers, the Ravi, the Satluj and the Bias, required to be developed. The World Bank offered its good offices and on 5th February 1954 formulated its proposals for developing the Indus Basin. The entire flow of the western rivers, the Indus, Jhelum and the Chenab, except for a small volume to be used in Kashmir, was to be made available to Pakistan. The entire flow of the three eastern rivers, the Ravi, Satluj and Bias, was to be made available to India. India accepted the World Bank plan on 25th March 1954. India was to receive only 20% of the total flow of the Indus Basin rivers for its then 26 million cultivable area. Pakistan was to receive 80% for its 39 million area. After some delay, Pakistan too accepted the plan. The plan was signed by Prime Minister Nehru on behalf of India and General Ayub Khan on behalf of Pakistan on 19 September 1960. Page 4. 6.4. Disposal of evacuee property. The problem about the disposal of evacuee property was a legacy of the partition. Many Muslims had left India in haste for West Punjab and Sindh. In both cases, they left behind their movable and immovable properties without making adequate provision for protecting them. There were similar migrations in eastern parts of India and East Pakistan. One estimate is that the total value of the Hindu and Sikh property was of the order of $8 billion and that of Muslim refugee property in India at $800 million. However, these estimates were contested by the Pakistan government. Several inter-dominion conferences were convened between 1947 and 1949. Various agreements and decisions were taken by the two governments to deal with the problem. 6.5. The Kashmir question. The story of the accession of Jammu and Kashmir to India, 26-27 October 1947, is now part of history and is perhaps well known. The accession, which took place on 26 October 1947, following the tribal invasion of Kashmir, is considered both legal and lawful by the India government. The instrument of accession was not provisional. The role of the Union of the United Nations Commission for India and Pakistan, UNCIP, in Kashmir is important. The Commission visited the subcontinent and held discussions with the representatives of India and Pakistan. They managed to secure the agreement of both the governments to two resolutions of 13 August 1948 and 6 January 1949, which had three parts: a ceasefire, a truce, and a plebiscite. India had committed herself to a plebiscite. In effect, if the plebiscite went against India, technically the validity of the accession would cease. These included General Macnaghten, eminent Austrian Dixon, and Dr. Frank Graham. The bilateral military pact between the US and Pakistan, signed in 1954, further complicated the Kashmir issue. Page 5. Perhaps the Indian government had made the mistake of taking the Kashmir issue to the Security Council under Articles 34 and 35 of Chapter 6 of the UN Charter, which is entitled Pacific Settlement of Disputes. In fact, a more appropriate head for invoking the Security Council's intervention would have been Chapter 7, which is concerned with acts of aggression. The Maharaja's accession was supported by Sheikh Abdullah and the National Conference in October 1947. In February 1954, the Constituent Assembly of Kashmir ratified this decision. In November 1956, this decision, which was constitutionally and legally complete, was given the formal sanction of the people of Jammu and Kashmir as reflected through their democratically elected Constituent Assembly. In other words, one interpretation is that the issue has been settled by a reference to the people. Perhaps it was also a mistake on the part of the government of India after they knew that the Security Council was reluctant to name Pakistan as the aggressor to agree to discuss a whole series of resolutions which put Pakistan the aggressor and India the aggressee on an equal footing. Since the Nehruvian days, much has taken place in India-Pakistan relations over Kashmir. These developments are perhaps well known and hence are not recorded in the lesson. In the contemporary context, terrorist groups have hindered the restoration of peace in Jammu and Kashmir. Terrorism poses a major challenge to the stabilization of the relationship between the two countries. The phenomenon of state-sponsored terrorism poses a major challenge in this contest. Though India recognizes that Jammu and Kashmir is an issue that needs to be addressed, it does not believe that it is the only issue. India-Pakistan relations need not be defined only by their differences. They must transcend the differences and address the opportunities for cooperation. Areas of cooperation. 6.6. Economic or trade opportunities. There is a tremendous scope for cooperation between India and Pakistan in the economic field. Bilateral trade between the two countries, unfortunately, has been governed by factors that are political rather than economic. Despite an increase in the 1990s, official bilateral trade in actual terms was merely ₹703 crores for a period 1999 to 2000. India's main exports to Pakistan include oil, meats, spices, drugs, pharmaceuticals, dyes, manufactured goods, paints, plastic linoleum products. Pakistan's main exports to India include rice, fruits and nuts, sugar, textiles, cotton, raw and waste. Page 6. While official trade between the two countries is roughly $210 million, the non-official trade approximates $1 billion. This is partly due to the refusal by Pakistan to butt certain Indian goods directly. Items such as medicines, videotapes, cosmetics, alcoholic beverages, cotton fiber, etc., are traded through third countries. These goods are exported from India to countries like Singapore and Dubai, from where they are imported to Pakistan. The fact is that despite being imported through third countries, the Pakistani traders still find Indian goods cheaper when compared to similar goods from other countries, especially from Europe, USA, and Japan. Besides non-official trade, there also exists illegal trade across the border. Goods such as cement, tires, tea, and chemicals are the major items that are illegally traded. There are many opportunities to increase trade between India and Pakistan. For example, India-Pakistan trade could be increased in items like tea, coffee, textile machinery, and iron ore. At present, Pakistan purchases tea from Kenya at a higher price. Despite being the second largest consumer of tea in the world, Pakistan imports less than 2% of its tea from India. Similarly, the textile industry in Pakistan is underdeveloped and its requirements are imported from Germany at a much higher cost. Even iron ore, a basic ingredient for Pakistan's steel industry, is imported at a higher cost from countries like Australia and Brazil. Iron ore and textile machinery can be imported from India at a much lower cost. In spite of the political constraints, dynamic individuals from the Indian and Pakistan business communities have been searching for ways to initiate contact and cooperation with each other. India and Pakistani commercial organizations have been the most outspoken advocates of expanded economic ties between the two countries. Intellectuals on both sides have advocated increased economic cooperation and trade liberalization between the two countries. Such interaction could go a long way in reducing mutual fears and building trust through an enlarged web of contacts and interdependencies. Consumers and producers in both India and Pakistan can benefit from trade expansion and economic collaboration. In a way, economic security also needs to drive the security policy of both India and Pakistan. Page 7. 6.7. Cooperation in the energy sector. In the energy sector, India and Pakistan share many common problems. Both countries suffer from severe shortages of oil, gas and electric power for use in household, agricultural, industrial and service sectors. The demand for oil and power is increasing as their populations and economies expand. As a result, substantial opportunities exist for both the countries to collaborate in jointly exploring, developing and sharing their energy resources. Both India and Pakistan should also think in terms of an integrated system of oil and gas pipelines from the Middle East and Central Asia that could take care of the requirements of both the countries as well as other countries in South Asia. By providing transit facilities for the gas pipelines from the oil-rich Gulf region in India, Pakistan could earn huge amounts of money. Iran, for example, has huge gas reserves and is willing to sell it to India. In fact, negotiations to buy gas from Iran have been on for many years now. However, it cannot become a reality unless Pakistan is willing to be part of the deal. The most economic way to transport the gas would be over land through Pakistan. It is expected that Pakistan could earn approximately $500 million annually for providing transit facilities. Needless to say, the gas pipeline could cater to Pakistan's gas needs also. If the land route does not materialize, then the only option is a sea route, which would be at a very high cost. A decision on the gas pipelines would open up windows of opportunities and would be beneficial for the economies of both the countries. 6.8. Confidence building measures and India-Pakistan relations. Confidence building measures, CBMs, can play a very important role in helping to strengthen relations between India and Pakistan. These can take the shape of unilateral tacit or negotiated steps to improve cooperation or decrease tension in the relationship. The track record of India-Pakistan CBMs has been mixed. Very often, attempts at institutionalized and formal CBMs have been the result of external prodding. Moreover, the successful implementation of CBMs in the India-Pakistan context is dependent on the political will of the two sides to make them work. To a large extent, it is dependent on the availability of trust in the political domain. Otherwise, the CBMs will only serve a symbolic purpose. Perhaps the only Indo-Pak CBM that has been truly effective and durable is the Indus Waters Treaty of 19 September 1960. The success of this treaty is perhaps attributable to the fact that the World Bank was able to make both India and Pakistan winners in the Indus Water Settlement, since each country received more irrigation water as a result of the agreement. Page 8. Presently, India and Pakistan seem to differ on the role of CBMs. Pakistan wants a short phase of negotiating CBMs and an early start to formal negotiations on Kashmir. India, on the other hand, wants an extended process of CBMs to create the proper conditions under which Kashmir can be negotiated. Confidence building is essential if South Asia is to advance in the interdependent and increasingly more competitive global economy. The preferred future of peace, security, and affluence for India and Pakistan requires a series of CBMs, not only in the military arena, but also in the economic, energy, environmental, cultural, and social arenas. Check your progress 1. Note, use the space given below for your answer. Also check your answer with the clue given at the end of the unit. 1. Bring out the immediate problems in India-Pakistan relations arising out of the partition of the subcontinent. 2. Discuss the importance of confidence-building measures in the relations between India and Pakistan. Page 9. Let us sum up. The political context in which bilateral relations develop is subject to various pulls and pressures. Pakistan's foreign policy over the years has been dominated with its security concerns with India. The India obsession, which has been influenced both by ideology and geopolitics, seems to have eclipsed almost everything else. In fact, even Pakistan's relations with other countries have to a large extent been shaped by the India factor, especially with relation to the United States, China, and the Islamic world. Perhaps a cool-headed reappraisal shows that such an India obsession and the ongoing state of confrontation have hurt Pakistan more than India. Relations have shown a propensity to escalate at the slightest provocation. Solutions to bilateral issues still remain elusive. The tragedy of India-Pakistan relations has been the vested interests that have developed over time, and the fact that both sides still focus on policy lines that failed. Both countries have paid a heavy price for persisting with the strained relations. Since the level of understanding is quite low, it has the potential for misunderstanding, and it could perhaps even be the cause of unintended escalation. Pakistan has to give up its attitude of compulsive and perpetual hostility towards India. Moreover, India's desire for peace and reconciliation should not be perceived as a sign of fatigue and of weakness either. Both the countries have to build on the promise of regional rapprochement. It is essential to create a positive political climate and context for a political dialogue to be sustained between the two countries. No political relationship can withstand the test of time without basic trust. The time has come to move India-Pakistan relations in the direction of peace, friendship, and cooperation. The stage has come when things can no longer be allowed to drift. This calls for sustained dialogue between the two countries, sustained effort to implement the confidence-building measures, CBMs, dealing with mindsets and stereotypes in Indo-Pak relations, develop relations in the non-political context so as to minimize the hazards of the political pitfalls, maintain avenues for communication at various levels, strengthen ties at the level of civil society. Page 10. Both the countries have to address themselves to the new context in which their bilateral relationship has to work out. Mistrust and hostility continues to mar the relationship. The best way to avoid escalation is to emphasize the bilateral route to solve India-Pakistan differences and tensions. India has repeatedly said that there is no third-party role in the bilateral dialogue. Moreover, General Musharraf's commitment to end cross-border militancy also needs to be monitored by the US President. Musharraf has made a very damaging statement on television in June 2003 to the effect that notwithstanding the fact that Pakistan was pushed into Kargil by the Mujahideen, it could not happen again. 2. Both India and Pakistan need to think in terms of agreeing upon institutional mechanisms to contain crisis situations. The dialogue process has to be institutionalized. Both sides have to develop mechanisms in this context. Till such time, the leaders of the two countries have to maintain channels of communications, be at the bilateral level or at multilateral forums. 3. Former Prime Minister Vajpayee's decision to re-engage Islamabad, especially after the fiasco at Agra, is also a recognition that it is perhaps better to build upon a sustainable peace process when the Pakistan army is in control. Any little progress has to be capitalized on for moving further ahead on the bilateral front. Small steps in the direction of enhancing mutual confidence will be necessary. Hence, the decision to revive direct air, rail and road links on a reciprocal basis has made a major impact on strengthening the process of normalization. The focus should be on the outcomes. The complex internal political dynamics within Pakistan also needs to be monitored closely to prevent any derailment of the process. 4. Pakistan also needs to realize that it can no longer politically and economically afford the cost of constant confrontation with India. Unfortunately, Pakistan still believes that it can force India to disgorge Kashmir by waging a battle of attrition. Its entrenched animosity towards India is not in its interest. India on its side also must do whatever it can to broad base its ties with Pakistan. This is because New Delhi has always recognized that the establishment of mutual confidence and trust will create the necessary conditions by which the contentious issues between India and Pakistan can be addressed. Page 11. 5. India and Pakistan need to focus on the measures that they have already agreed upon. The formal agreement between the two countries to observe ceasefire along the line of control, LOC, the actual ground position line, AGPL, in the Siachen Glacier, and a segment of the international border is a positive development in itself. It has already resulted in a qualitative improvement in India-Pakistan relations. By proposing a unilateral ceasefire, it also implies that Pakistan is expected to stop cross-border terrorism. It is in the interest of both India and Pakistan to cooperate in the common action against terrorism. 6. The present coalition government, headed by Prime Minister Manmohan Singh, needs to encourage greater engagement and cooperation between the two countries. This could lead to a resolution of their differences, including moving in a direction aimed at a permanent end of their conflict. Bilateral meetings without adequate preparation could be counterproductive. India-Pakistan multidimensional interaction is essential even to deal with what Pakistan terms the core issue. 6.10 Keywords. Simla Agreement. Agreement signed between India and Pakistan on July 2, 1972. The agreement was signed by Prime Minister Indira Gandhi on behalf of India and Prime Minister Zulfikar Ali Bhutto on behalf of Pakistan. Line of Control, LOC. It is the Simla Agreement that saw the conversion of the ceasefire line established on December 17, 1971 into the line of control. The LOC extends from Sangam to point NJ 9842 and extends for a distance of 778 kilometers. The line is to be respected by both the sides. Neither side can alter it unilaterally. Both sides shall refrain from the threat or use of force in the violation of the line. Page 12. Instrument of Accession. The Instrument of Accession was signed by Maharaja Hari Jai Singh on 26th October 1946. It signed the accession of the state of Jammu and Kashmir into the Indian Union. Confidence Building Measures, CBMs. Confidence building measures in the military and non-military arenas are meant to stabilize and consolidate relations between India and Pakistan. CBMs are intended to ultimately bring about peace, security and prosperity for the people of India and Pakistan. 6.12. Some Useful Books. Dikshit J.N. Makers of India's Foreign Policy, 2004. Khan, Humayun and Parthasarathy G. Diplomatic Divide, Cross-Border Talks, 2004. Raja Mohan C. Crossing the Rubicon, The Shaping of India's New Foreign Policy, 2003. Ganguly Sumit, Conflicting Unending India-Pakistan Tensions Since 1947, 2002. Dikshit J.N., India-Pakistan in War and Peace, 2002. Raghavan V.R., Siachen Conflict Without End, 2002. Das Gupta C. War and Diplomacy in Kashmir, 1947-1948. War and Diplomacy in Kashmir, 1947-48, 2002. Cux Dennis, The United States and Pakistan, 1947-2000, Disenchanted Allies, 2001. Zakaria Rafiq, The Man Who Divided India, 2002. Hussein Ijaz, Kashmir Dispute, An International Law Perspective, 2001. Page 13. 6.13. Answers to Check Your Progress. Check Your Progress 1. 1. See Section 6.2. 2. See Section 6.8. Page 14. Notes.